All right. So we are in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4. If you have your Bible, open to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Timothy is a letter written by the Apostle Paul to his close friend, his disciple in the ministry, his little apprentice in the ministry, Timothy. And Paul is encouraging Timothy to stand firm, to keep the church well ordered, to pursue after a church that glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's in the middle of that. He's kind of hit the climax of why he wrote the book at the end of chapter 3. And now he's giving some encouragements. Last week he said that there's going to be false teachers that are going to come into the church and they're going to teach things that will lead the church astray. And as the pastor of the church, he has to ferret those people out, condemn their false teaching, and encourage people to follow the true gospel that was once delivered for all, that Christ died for sinners and rose again. And if by faith you will believe in Jesus Christ, you will be saved. That is the simple gospel. It's the message the church must never lose. And so Paul wants Timothy to keep that in the middle of what he's doing. And then he turns from that to kind of do what I think a lot of us need to do, which is a little spiritual checkup. Some of you have an annual physical that you go to the doctor for. I do not have an annual physical where I go to the doctor. I have an occasional, I don't feel good, so I go to the doctor. But some of you are disciplined and you go every year when you're supposed to, like a good person, and you go sit with your doctor and they step you up on a scale and they look at the number and they say, and you're like, oh, I don't like the way that sounded right then. Or maybe they say, very good, you're doing great. And you're like, all right, that feels good inside. Then they sit you in a chair and they strap a cuff around your arm and it gets a little tight. And then the doctor goes, and you're like, oh no, I don't like the way that sounds at all. They run some blood work. They get the results back. There's 7 pages of stuff and they're like, And each of those measures that the doctor is taking in the physical is to measure something inside of your body to see, is it at proper operating condition? Or are there things that we should do to kind of get this thing improved? And if you have a good doctor, which not all doctors are good doctors, but if you have a good doctor, before they prescribe you 1,000 medications to fix the symptoms that you see before you, they're going to look at you and say, talk to me about what you're eating. Tell me kind of what your diet looks like. How many drinks are you having a night? You say, well, you know, I live on a diet of McDonald's and Sonic, and I have 3 beers a night. And the doctor's like, you know what? Maybe let's make a few changes. Let's make just a couple of changes here before we go and get you on all the medicines that can help these symptoms. Let's see if we can just help you out by maybe eating, you know, food instead of whatever it is that they're trying to serve you at those places. And so they look at your diet and they begin to manipulate your diet a little bit. And they say, tell me kind of what you're doing activity-wise. You say, well, I sit at my desk for 8 hours a day. And then I go home and I sit on my couch for 4 hours. And then I go lay in my bed for the remainder of the time. And they're like, well, you know, maybe we should get your body moving a little bit. And they may prescribe you a regimen of some form of exercise. You know, do you have a gym membership? Okay, you don't? Okay, no, obviously not. But how about you just go take a little walk? You can actually see your pastor if you want to see me just randomly walking the streets of Rockdale between where I live and this church. You can see me most mornings between, I don't know, 8 and 8:30, somewhere between the high school football field and First Baptist Church Rockdale. Occasionally I'll see Elaine out at her house as she's out watering plants or taking Noelle for a walk. I don't know who else's house I walk by on my route. But if you want to see me, you can go out and drive around and see me and say, hey, there's Matt walking to work. And you say, Matt, why are you walking to work? It's 2 miles roughly. And it's because I sit a lot in my life. And I figure me being on my feet at 43 when my metabolism has already said I quit is probably good for me to do. And so I've just decided in myself, again, I didn't go to the doctor, but if I had, the doctor would say, what do you do? And I say, I sit all day. And he'd say, why don't you move your body? And so I just move my body. And a good doctor will look at those things because what you do with your body, what you consume into your body, will direct.
What you consume and do with your body will directly affect how your health is. And this is true of your physical body, but it's also true of your spiritual body. And so Timothy is going to get some instruction here about maintaining the spiritual body. And spiritually, we know it, whether or not we're performing at our peak condition or not, based on a couple of metrics, just like the doctor can weigh you and take your blood pressure. There's some base level metrics, and these are things that you should do on a regular basis to evaluate yourself. And the broad term is godliness. Are you godly or not? If you're spiritually walking with the Lord, you will be a godly person. There will be a godliness that comes out of you. And the best way that I know to kind of check whether or not you're like demonstrating godliness is you go to the book of Galatians and you go through the fruit of the Spirit. And you say, are these evident in my life? And you may have to get an outside counsel, right? Go talk to your best friend or your husband or your wife or someone who knows you well and say, you know, do you see love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? Do you see these things in my life? Are they improving or are they getting worse? And for a lot of us, we neglect to ever give ourselves any sort of spiritual checkup. We neglect ever thinking about our spiritual life. We just kind of continue the path that we've always been on. And I want you to know, at some point, if you never go and do an evaluation, you may find yourself very far from where you want to be. And then when you finally do step on the scale of checking your spiritual faith, the doctor will look at the numbers and be like, this is not good. And instead of being able to prescribe less intensive things, they have to go, you know, more serious into the way to get you well and healthy. So what do we need to do? What is the equivalent of good diet and good exercise in the spiritual life today? What are those things? Let's read 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to read verses 6 through 10 today. Paul writes, if you put these things, this teachings, before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of the faith of the good doctrine that you have followed. Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. While bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life that is to come. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. For to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. All right, so Paul says, look, Timothy, if you'll continue to teach the right doctrines, the right teachings, you'll confront the bad teachings, teach the right teachings. And if you avoid the, how does he describe these things here? Have nothing to do with irreverent or silly myths. Then you'll be in the right place. The first thing that you need to do as a Christian, if you want to grow spiritually, if you want to become more godly, if you want a better spiritual health today than you did yesterday, the first thing you need to do is you need to consume good doctrine and avoid worthless ones. You need to consume good doctrine, and you need to avoid worthless ones. There is a lot of worthless doctrines in the world. I dealt with one last week, the doctrine of this insane self-denial for some sense of holiness. But there are doctrines on the exact opposite side of that, licentiousness, which says you should do all sorts of things so God can give you more grace. God is glorified by giving grace, so let him give you more grace by acting more sinful. There are countless bad doctrines. If you want to hear some bad doctrines, I don't know, turn on religious programming on the TV and listen, and you'll find them. They're out there. They're popular. They make you feel good. Probably the most popular common bad doctrine that will be tempting for the church to fall into today is the prosperity gospel that you'll see preached at large churches and on TV churches around the world. And this doctrine says that God wants you to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. And any lacking of that shows that you are not where God wants you to be. And that's often paired with the idea of word of faith. And so you speak a word in faith and you activate the power of God in your life by the power of your words. So you say, I am rich In fact, these churches will have times where the pastor will lead them in some sort of like dialogue where I'll say something and then you repeat it back. And we're going to claim the promise of God that you have the, you know, God has the cattle on 1,000 hills. We're just asking for a couple hills for you too, right? And so we start putting these things out there and telling you, just claim it. And if you claim it, whatever you ask for in faith, the Lord will give to you. It says it in the Bible, so that must be true. That must be a proper interpretation of that passage. It's not. But they use a little Bible. They sprinkle a little Bible in there. And these worthless doctrines are the fast food of Christianity today. And they are killing the church. They are choking out the church, and we are developing all sorts of spiritual diseases inside of the church because we have decided that we do not like good doctrine. The old teachings from the Bible, the simple teachings from the Bible, we say, these aren't good enough for me today. I like that new stuff. Do you know why we like the processed foods that we like? Because they were genetically made in some lab somewhere, and it reinforces something in your head that says, you like this. And so they throw sugar in everything, because sugar is really awesome. I mean, like I'm pro-sugar. Right? I grew up in sugar land. Like, I'm pro-sugar conceptually. That's where I come from. Right? So I'm generally in favor of sugar. But any excess of that is really, really dangerous. And we just put it in everything. And we put butter and fats and everything in these hydrogenated oils. And look, I'm not here to tell you exactly everything that you shouldn't eat in your life. You see what I am. I am not the beacon to tell you what you should and should not do in all areas of that. But I know that there is an appetite that we naturally have for the bad things that the food industry gives us. And the food industry knows this, and so they just prey on that. And then you go and they lay a salad out before you, and you have a salad here, or you have an order of chicken nuggets here, and you're like, man, those chicken nuggets look really, really good. I don't know why that golden, crispy chicken nugget looks so good compared to this salad, but it does. And until we reorder our taste buds, to say, I know what's actually good versus what the world tells me is good, what my natural desire is wrong. Until we start denying ourselves of those things, we're never going to get on the right side with our physical health. And it's the same thing in the spiritual doctrines. There are doctrines that people teach that just sound great. You mean God wants me to be wealthy? Oh, man, that's so good. Because I am struggling. My bank account's overdrawn. I need a new car. God wants me to be happy. Oh, man, that's great. Because I'm not getting along with my wife, and I'm not getting along with my kids, but now I know. And they throw out something, and you naturally want that to be true. But a lot of those doctrines, they're poison for the soul. And when we consume those doctrines, we become spiritually very, very sick. And you won't see it on day one. If you eat McDonald's for all your meals today, you might feel a little icky when you go to bed tonight. You're going to wake up tomorrow probably feeling okay. But if you do that every day for the next, like, I don't know, 2 years, you're going to feel and look pretty miserable. You're going to wonder what happened to your complexion. You're going to, like, there's a lot of things that are going to go wrong in your body. And that's the same thing with these spiritual doctrines. They may be okay today. You may taste a little bit and it not bother you today. It may not actively destroy you today, but I promise you, it will not produce godliness in you. It's not going to move you closer to the fruit of the Spirit. It's going to move you further away. And so you must choose to consume good doctrine and to avoid bad, worthless doctrines. And that means occasionally, and I don't all the time point out false teachers because I feel like that's sort of tiring for me to do. But if I name an individual by name to you, it is not because I don't like them or I'm jealous of them. It's because I have deemed them to be dangerous enough to say, hey guys, you shouldn't eat that. When your doctor tells you you shouldn't eat a pint of Bluebell, it's not because they hate Bluebell. It's because they've realized this is bad for you, right? Moderation would be the key with Bluebell. It's not the key with false teaching. Guys, we can't consume those worthless things. We must develop an appetite for the good doctrines, which means you need to find what it is that's true. Hopefully, your pastor's teaching you those things. Hopefully, your Sunday school classes are encouraging in you those things. And hopefully, as you read God's Word, you're beginning to see some places where good doctrine can be applied to your life. But you must consume the good and avoid the worthless if you want to be spiritually healthy. So the first part is to alter your diet. You want to be godly? Alter your diet. Be purposeful about what you put into yourself. Don't just receive everything with no evaluation of whether or not this is good or bad for you. The second thing you need to do is you need to exercise yourself for godliness. You need to exercise yourself for godliness. You see this in Paul writes, "Rather train yourself for godliness, for while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, for it holds promise for the present life and the life to come." Guys, you need to understand this. It is not easy to become godly. It doesn't come natural that you become more like Jesus Christ. Left to yourself, left to your own devices, your natural inclination will not walk you closer to Jesus. You must do something to pursue Jesus. And the word here, this train yourself, is a word that basically means to exercise. You know, when I don't go to the gym very often. This is full disclosure here. But when I walk into a gym, sometimes I'm like, "Woo, this place stinks. Man, people are sweating in here." And that's not a pleasant odor, right? We buy special products to cover up the stink of our bodies working. And you go to a gym and you can't hide it. There's too many people in too small of an area making the place smell bad. And the idea is that the Christian's life should have the smell of exercise on us. Instead, we have the smell of luxury on us. Most Christians go through their lives living a very passive life, and we just sit back and we allow life to come on us. And we may pursue God in the easy path, but when it becomes difficult or challenging or there's any obstacles in our way, we just kind of coast and hope that we'll get through this season and maybe on the back end we'll be somewhere else. But the Bible doesn't tell us that's our path. It says we should train ourselves for godliness. You need to discipline yourself to live a godly life. It doesn't happen without active discipline, and we struggle with discipline as people. New Year's resolutions come, we make them, make a whole list of New Year's resolutions. You know, January 15th, they're almost all broken. They're gone. About a whole another year, we're like, "Well, I got a couple more months till I have to make another round of these." And then come, you know, December 31st, you make your little list of things you want to do next year. January 15th comes, you fall off again. Guys, we have to discipline ourselves. We have to build discipline in ourselves. You have to choose. And so what are these disciplines? Well, the Bible gives us spiritual disciplines. That's what the term is, spiritual disciplines, disciplines for our spirit. The first one, the easiest one, the one that you should be doing regularly already, is you should be reading the Word of the Lord on a regular daily basis. You say, "Pastor, you don't know. I don't have time to do that." If you're under the age of, I don't know, we'll say 45, I feel confident when you say you don't have time, you're going to blame your kids or something like that for that, or school or whatever it is, that's your obstacle there. But if I was to go look at your viewing hours on YouTube or Netflix or whatever your streaming of choice is, there's a lot of hours that you've spent doing something else. I have a kid, and she watched like a whole TV show that my wife and I took, I don't know, like a year to kind of walk our way through. She watched it in like a month. I'm thinking, my goodness, that is a lot of time in front of the TV watching this particular program. Like that's a long time, right, Shelly? Feels like a long time. It could have been any of my kids, by the way. I don't want to name anyone by name. That would be rude. To be fair, all of my kids have done something similar. So it's not just you, daughter, over there. We're really good at wasting time. You need to make time, prioritize time to be in God's Word. And I'm not super legalistic about what you have to read. Like, we're reading this together. You must be reading this. But I am kind of legalistic in, like, you must do something spiritually to move forward in your life. So you should be reading God's Word. If you're not reading God's Word, if God's Word has been sitting on your dashboard or on your bedside table since last Sunday, this was a bad week. This is a week where you didn't do any physical training for yourself or spiritual training, and that's not okay. But you're further behind than you should be. God's grace says, guess what? It's a new week this week. We can start again, right? What a beautiful thing that we have grace. Second spiritual discipline that you should be practicing beyond reading your Bible is you should have an active prayer life. You should be praying continually. You should be communing with the Lord in prayer. The Bible says that we should be in an attitude of prayer at all times, like in all things. Pray continually. And so that means when you're driving down the road, you're praying. And it doesn't mean that your eyes are closed, because that seems dangerous, okay? Self-driving cars haven't made it to Rockdale yet. But you should be in the mindset that you're communing with the Lord. I walk outside, and it is very common. I walk outside, and I feel like recently the weather's just started to feel kind of decent when you walk outside. And I'm like, thank you, God. Like, I'm all alone. But since me and the Lord are in communion with each other, my first thought when I walk outside and experience the blessing of the Lord, it's like, thank you for that, God. That's nice. And anytime something comes up, we can go to God in prayer. Now, you need to dedicate yourself to like praying over specific things, wants or needs that are in your life, lost people that God has put around you that you should be praying for their salvation. But just to be in a spirit of prayer today. Right? When you go around, when you're eating, when you're walking down the street, when you're sitting in your home alone, to know that you aren't alone, the Lord is with you, and that conversation is open and happening. You should be in a spirit of prayer all the time. So reading your Bible, praying. Very Sunday school answers so far. This is easy stuff, right? This is the reason we call these Sunday school answers is because when your kids were in second grade, we were teaching them these things. It doesn't change now that you're 75 years old. You still need the same things. We still need to read our Bibles. We still need to pray. What else are spiritual disciplines that we need to be in? Well, the spiritual discipline of fasting. I know I dealt last week with the fact that we shouldn't deny ourselves for spiritual like ends necessarily as like a long-term deal, but we're commanded to fast. Right? When Christ speaks about fasting and he gives instructions about how we're to fast, he says, when you fast, and then he gives some requirements. Don't fast like these people who disfigure their faces so everyone knows that they're doing it. But the idea is when you fast, it's an expectation. If I said when you get to church, the expectation is you're going to be at church. And so we should fast. Now you may have some medical condition that prevents you from being able to fast forever or for what. I don't want to get into the everything about it. But you should go through some seasonal, like, hey, I'm going through a thing right now. I'm going to enter into a season where I'm not going to eat for a day, or I'm going to skip my lunch today because I'm going to focus on connecting with the Lord. Right, to just enter into that purposefully. It's not a dietary thing, right? It's not, I'm skipping my breakfast so I eat less calories so that I can lose, you know, the little bit of paunch that I got right here. That's not fasting. That's, I don't know, temporary starvation. I don't know what it is. It's not spiritual fasting, but you should fast. The other thing that we need to do is we need to spend some time in solitude and in silence. We live in a very noisy world. We like to put things in our ears so that we can... I hate headphones. Have I told my kids this before? My daughter just rolled her eyes very aggressively on the front row. That's Hannah, by the way. Name that one. I hate them. I hate everything about them. We get in the car and the kids want to put headphones on. And I'm like, take those out. Like, we're together. In a spot, we're going to be together in a spot. I like to be present in a spot. I understand. I'm weird in that way. I also don't really love music. So, like, I don't, the joy that music gives a lot of you, it just barely scratches the surface for me. And I understand that I'm different that way. But you need to go and you need to get somewhere where you're just quiet and alone. I'm not saying go into an isolation room, but it could be going in your backyard, sitting on your back porch, and just being alone. Take some time there where it's just you and the Lord, because you know even in the lonely spots, you're not alone. But a lot of times we fill ourselves so full with every other voice, we make no room to hear from God. And so if you'll do some of those things, if you'll read your Bible, if you'll pray, if you'll practice the disciplines of silence and solitude, if you'll practice the discipline occasionally of fasting, guys, you're going to be disciplining yourself. You're going to begin to have that sweat smell in your faith that you are doing things to move forward in godliness. And when you pair that with the proper diet of good teaching, you will move forward in your quest to be godly. Because, guys, godliness is obtained in the life of the believer through proper diet and exercise. The same thing that your good doctor should tell you about what general health is from is proper diet and exercise. That is how godliness is obtained through the life of the believer. The Holy Spirit is obviously engaged in this process of making all of this work. But your steps is proper diet of good doctrine and exercise of the spiritual disciplines that God has put before you today. The church should be stronger today than it was yesterday because you should have done some work this week to move closer to Jesus Christ. But a lot of us, we coasted this week. We didn't read our Bible. We barely prayed. We haven't consumed any good teaching since last Sunday. And that's hit or miss depending on the Sunday, right? We haven't consumed any good teaching. Maybe we've listened to some worldly teaching on top of that, so we've had some fast food thrown in on us. And we're less healthy today than we were last Sunday at this time. That should not be, church. We need to get to work. We need to roll up our sleeves and go to work. And it's something that you can do until the day that you can't do it anymore. There was a military man, I forget his name. I was reading about him in a commentary, so I apologize, military man who is now dead, but he was a general during World War II, and he developed the daily discipline of reading the Bible. And he read the Old Testament one time a year and the New Testament four times a year or something like that. And so he was constantly reading the Bible. Even when he was in the middle of combat, when they would come back from combat exercises, he would go and catch up on the day's reading that he missed. He did this until he was into his 90s and his eyesight failed him and he couldn't do it any longer. And by that time, he had read the Old Testament 70-something times and the New Testament, I don't know, 280 or something times. Right? He was disciplining himself so he could be godly. We need Christians like that. We need Christians who understand the word of the Lord better than they understand the word of their favorite social commentator. They need to be able to hear what God's voice sounds like more than they need to hear what their favorite YouTube celebrity or pop star sounds like. Guys, we got to discipline ourselves. Because God, the pursuit of holiness, the pursuit of godliness, the pursuit after Jesus Christ is worth it for the believer. Guys, we need to do the work. And I'll join you in that process as I read my Bible, as I pray. As I seek after good doctrine, I avoid bad doctrine. I will walk along with you because I want my church to be spiritually healthier tomorrow than you were today because you heard this message and you began to evaluate that. The first step, though, is to evaluate where are your health markers. And so some of you need to go back and talk to the people who know you best and say, you've known me for a while. Am I more loving now than I was when you met me? Right? Am I kinder now? Am I more joyful now? Do I demonstrate more self-control now or not? And listen honestly for their feedback. And there may be some things you don't want to hear, but you know, when you step on the scale and the doctor finally breaks the news to you that you're in really bad shape, that wound hurts for a second, but it is life-giving for you. He says, but you have another chance. We're going to fix some things. We're going to change some things. We're going to get you well. Spiritually, guys, we need to be well. That's going to happen through a pursuit of godliness, proper diet, proper exercise. Let me pray.